Let's face it, running a construction company can be chaotic. As business owners, we wear a lot of hats and we're constantly putting out fires. Luckily, there's a way to work simpler with BuilderTrend. I'm a huge advocate for using technology to help run AFT, and BuilderTrend is one of the most crucial tools I rely on to keep me on top of every detail. Built just for home builders and remodelers, this is an easy-to-use platform that helps manage all aspects of my business. My team's been using BuilderTrend's project management platform for the last 5 years, and we love that they're always improving and adding new features to make our lives easier. This is something that we've really tried to take on internally to find ways to improve our system every day. BuilderTrend just released a full set of financial services, added new tools like Takeoff to make estimates more accurate, and launched a total rebrand with a new mission to help change the future of construction, and we are on board. To learn more about how BuilderTrend can help calm the chaos in your construction business, visit buildatrend.com/AFT. When you schedule a demo, you'll receive an exclusive 60-day money-back guarantee only available to my podcast listeners. I'm following BuilderTrend into the future in construction. Come on board with us. Don't miss the Contractors Coalition Summit. You can go to contractorscoalitionsummit.com and join us in Minneapolis, Minnesota, Wednesday, May 15th through Sunday, May 19th. This is going to be an incredible event. Again, for all of you builders and designers looking to take your business to the next level, to learn about all things systems, organization, pricing, social media, marketing, how to be a better business owner, all the things that we wish we knew as early business owners many years ago. We're going to speak about that, also give you a Dropbox with all the content, including contracts and other documents that we're using, as well as KPIs, key performance indicators. So don't miss it. It's a huge opportunity. Some amazing vendors will be there as well that you can network with. So again, Wednesday, May 15th through Sunday, May 19th, 2024 in Minneapolis. Go to contractorscoalitionsummit.com.
Dramatic clarity to me is getting very clear to the point that you can be able to communicate who you are and what makes you unique beyond the work that you do. You're more than just the work. And so it's getting really clear about who you are as a leader, as an entrepreneur, so that you can communicate that to your clients.
So welcome to the podcast. Very excited to have Jude Charles on with us. He's a filmmaker. So welcome, Jude.
Brad, thank you for having me. I'm excited too. I'm excited that we're getting an opportunity to do this. We've had a few conversations behind the scenes, but looking forward to sharing more with your audience.
Yeah, especially with, I know where this conversation is going to go. I've been fortunate to spend some time with Jude in person and of course, you know, Zoom, and you just have so much information to share, and it's been long overdue to get you on the podcast. So thanks for making time today.
Yeah. Awesome. Awesome.
So maybe we start here, Jude. I know you actually have a statement here. You talk about dramatic clarity, if I'm not mistaken. And so break that down, because I'd never heard that phrase before listening to you leading up to this.
Yeah. Dramatic clarity to me is about getting really clear about who you are. There are three different brackets in dramatic clarity. It is your core values, core stories, and core philosophies and beliefs. So core values, we've heard core values before, but I like to think about core values as not just the words, which is like, if you think about, so if you're a company, you use the word integrity. I like to think deeper about, well, tell me about a moment in time where you lost out on $100,000 because you did the right thing, right? Because that's what integrity is. So that's core values. Core stories are the stories that are within your business or that you have personally that you share more about yourself. And then there's core philosophies and beliefs. Now, I'll give you an example of like a core value of mine and then how I share stories around it. One of my core values is adventure. And so for my 30th birthday, I was surprised with two tickets to go to this place that I'd been talking about going to for 4 years, but there was a reason, Brad, that it didn't happen. And it was my girlfriend at the time who surprised me. And she was like, hey, you know, we're going somewhere. You're going to drive. Just wear something comfortable, but you don't know where we're going. And it wasn't until I pulled up to a small executive airport that I realized this thing that I'd been talking about for 4 years was skydiving. And I began to freak out, and I, as much as I love adrenaline filled activities, I was not ready for it at all. And even as we walked up to the counter, the receptionist handed us 5 pages of paperwork, and no exaggeration, Brad, each page of the paperwork reminded you over and over that you might die. So the plane may malfunction if it goes up in the air and the engine stop, or parachute may not deploy when the instructor deploys it. But over and over, it reminds you that you might die. Well, Brad, I use that story when I'm working with a client and we're doing what I like to call a road mapping strategy session. And because I use it as the beginning and I say, look, I'm going to ask you questions that might feel scary, almost as scary as jumping out of an airplane, but I need you to trust, just the same way I landed on 2 feet from that skydiving experience, that we're going to land on 2 feet and you're going to be safe and it's going to be one of the best experiences of your life. And so, yeah, it's dramatic clarity to me is getting very clear to the point that you can be able to communicate who you are and what makes you unique beyond the work that you do. You're more than just the work. And so it's getting really clear about who you are as a leader, as an entrepreneur, so that you can communicate that to your clients.
I think that's a great example. I mean, anyone that's been skydiving or at least attempted to go skydiving, right? There's a thrill there. And as you mentioned, the legal side behind it, but I think the breakdown between the core value stories and the philosophies, how do you build a story around that? And the reason I ask is because, you know, I would imagine that as you're interviewing clients, it could be hard for them to pull out, you know, certain experiences they've had. And how do you create, you know, a film about that? How do you create a story behind it, which is essentially what you're trying to do? And that's part of it. And maybe speak to the value as you think about all the competitors that we have in our fields and all the separators. There is something about the emotion, right? As you mentioned, that a lot of builders or designers or architects may have a reason why they think their product or service or customer, you know, experience is better than everybody else. But how do you portray that in a film, in a story, and the value add for that?
Yeah. When someone is thinking about working with you, one of the top questions on their mind is, why should I work with you versus any and every other option available to me? Brad, what that really boils down to is why you? And so when we go through the dramatic clarity phase and I'm pulling these stories out of you, I'm discovering, why do you do things the way that you do it? Why is a question that I ask a lot in that first phase. And the reason for that is because I want to be able, like you mentioned, I want to be able to portray that. I want to be able to show that. And showing that is what I call a dramatic demonstration of proof. So dramatic demonstration, there's 5 different brackets in dramatic demonstration. There's behind the scenes, live illustration, social proof, unique mechanism, and transformation. I'll break those down in a second. But the point is, you don't want to just talk about your core values or how great you are. You want to showcase that. You want to show people so that they can see it for themselves and believe in it for themselves. And so how do I go about doing that? I ask a lot of questions to pull that out of you in order to look at, okay, one, are you telling me the truth? Because I like to think of myself as like a detective. You're going to say certain things, but I need to see that in real life. So are you telling me the truth? And then two, if you are telling me the truth, okay, but why do you do it that way, right? What experiences in your life, what moments in your life have led you to realize, okay, this is the way that I need to do it. This is why this matters to me so much. A story is about a very specific moment in time. And the most important piece to that is the lesson that you learned in that moment in time. What I happen to do through video and film is to portray those lessons in short stories that allow customers, clients to get to know who you are.
It's really valuable. I mean, I think what's interesting is when you're asking these questions, it's not so much an interrogation or a fraud thing, but essentially you're trying to get down to the basis of what drives them. What's their value system? Why? Early on in this conversation, you made a comment that kind of stuck with me a little bit. You said, I want to understand why you had a $100,000 mistake and why you took care of it. Like, what's the basis behind that? Because not everybody in business is going to have that mentality. You know, they may say integrity, but when it comes, push comes to shove, are they really standing behind it? And so as you're breaking that down, how does that connect you emotionally? As you're going through these, you know, dramatic proof examples from the behind the scenes and illustration. How does that connect you with your client and now turn into this amazing production that you're offering?
Yeah, I get to learn them in a really deep way. I get to know, I get to learn who they are in a way that almost makes us become best friends. And the reason that it changes me is because then I get to portray that out to the audience that's watching this, right? So let's take, for example, our good friend, Luann Nigueira. I filmed her docuseries and spending 8 hours with her. So sometimes the road mapping session can be 3 to 8 hours, and spending that time with her, learning more about her, but then traveling to places like High Point Market or traveling to New Jersey to film behind the scenes of her, spending time with her family, I get to learn her in a way that I can portray it to others where they can feel like they know her in her deeper way. I love what I do because I get to see behind the scenes of these businesses. I get to see behind the scenes of like there's another example of a client who ran a jewelry business, and the fulfillment center for this jewelry business was a separate business and it was going out of business. And she had to, in 3 days, get $5 million worth of jewelry out of this fulfillment center before it gets locked up in litigation and all these other things. Well, I got to see behind the scenes of how does someone handle that challenge? Because it's one thing to say, like, this is what we'll do in the moment. It's another thing to see it, right? And so for me personally, I am able to see these challenges that my clients are going through and then be able to, one, take that through as I continue to build a business, but also take that to portray it to the audience.
I think that's a great example when you're talking about following Luann around. Because we met through Luann, and there's no doubt that she's someone that practices what she preaches, right? And I think in the podcast you were on with her, for anyone listening, they could go listen to that episode, which was a great episode. And you kind of turned the table on her, which I think surprised her in a good way. But When you look at the storytelling, I mean, all of us are familiar with reality TV, right? And right, wrong, or indifferent. Sometimes some of the characters on these reality shows, they could be portrayed in a bad light. So they become, you know, an antagonist, you know, they can be, you know, we could like them or feel, but either way, you feel like you know them to some extent based on how that story is told. So essentially, speak to that value for someone such as myself. They would say, okay, Jude, if I'm trying to show AFT or myself, like, what does that value look like to the client who's maybe looking to hire us for our services?
Yeah. The way we make friends, the way we start relationships is through stories and experiences. And so the value to the client is that they don't just get to see Brad or AFT, the team at AFT building homes. They get to understand what are they really about? Right? They get to understand that, hey, if I'm going to have Brad in my home, or if I'm going to trust Brad enough to build this home, that I know who I'm inviting into my house. And so the value is connection. The value is trust. The value is being able to see the person for who they are and get past all of the legal things and all that to get to the core of like, okay, this is going to be a great partnership. It's for me, I talk a lot about leadership. So like, if I think about it in the way that I work with my clients, I went to this leadership conference in 2014, and leadership has always been important to me at that point in my life. I'm 25 years old. And this is July of 2014. Spokane, Washington is where this leadership conference is. And I had this crazy idea, Brad, that I would go from Spokane, Washington, back home where I live in Pompano Beach, Florida. Now, if you think about that on a map, Washington State is the furthest northwest point. Florida is the furthest southeast point of America. Well, I had this crazy idea that I would take a Greyhound bus back home. Right? And it would be this 3-day long trip because I wanted to kind of digest the information I had just gotten from this conference. Well, by day two, I was incredibly miserable. But on day two, when we got to Chicago, Illinois, I turned back on my phone because I had my phone off the whole time. I turned back on my phone and I get a text message from my sister and it says, call me back. It's urgent. When I saw that text, I began to brace myself because I knew it was either mom or dad. My mom had been diagnosed with depression and had attempted suicide. My dad was diagnosed with prostate cancer. So when I call my sister, she's like, we found dad unresponsive in the home and we don't know what to do. Well, I know what that means. She won't tell me because I'm on the road, but that means that he has passed away and I need to get home. So I take the first flight back home, and I when I get to the airport, my brother comes to pick me up. He comes with his daughter, my niece, Ayana. She's 9 years old. I hug my niece. I don't say a word. I hug my brother. I don't say a word. But I decide to sit in the back seat with my niece, Ayana. And as I'm staring out the window, because I'm 25 years old, the youngest of 10 children, and I'm thinking to myself, I never imagined I'd lose my father this age. He wouldn't get to see me get married or have kids. But as I'm sitting there thinking about that, Ayana says to me, Uncle, why did Grandpa have to die? And I just stared at her because I don't know how to respond to a 9-year-old who's going through her first experience of death. And she says it again, why did Grandpa have to die? And that question rang in my ear as we as a family are preparing my father's funeral and doing different things. But I got my answer on August 9th, 2014, when I, Jude Charles, the youngest of 10 children, am tasked with giving my father's eulogy. And I realized through the entire experience, it wasn't just that leadership was important to me. It was leading through difficult moments. All right, so I'm sure you're wondering, Brad, why did you tell me that story? That story tells you so much more about me than just, hey, Brad, I want to come in and film you and tell your story on video, right? And so when I do that with my clients, when I pull back the curtain and we show behind the scenes of who you really are, when I use an analogy through a live illustration to show like how you go about handling challenges, your clients get a behind the scenes view that they wouldn't normally get, but they're able to build trust so much faster with you. And that trust and that speed to trust allows you to get through some of the uncomfortability in the beginning and wondering, oh, is this guy going to scam me? Or is this woman going to scam me? It's more of like, no, this is a partnership. This is a relationship. And we get to form that. Hopefully within the first 30 minutes of us meeting, we get to form that because I've got a chance to see you on video long before I ever came to meet with you. And so that is the value of like, when I go really deep with my clients, the value is trust. The value is you.
I think that's pretty profound, Jude. And the reason I say that, I mean, you think about that accelerated relationship, if you will, that trust. I mean, you sharing that experience about your father being 25. I was a little older than you. You know, a couple of years ago, I lost my father unexpected, right? And I was 40, so I was a little older than you at the time. But I don't think you're really prepared at that young of an age to go through that. And, you know, so there's a connection. You speak about not just the trust that begins when Jude sharing that and the vulnerability and the personality that I feel like, hey, I may have felt like I knew Jude good from before, but now it's cemented a little bit more. And as you contextualize that, as you've kind of alluded to, Jude, when you're dealing with, you talked about scam or the trust that goes into these projects. I mean, I look just in the reality of business, you're dealing with high numbers, right? And building projects and large deposits and monthly billings. And there has to be credibility. There has to be trust. There has to be process with all these things. But the storytelling now allows someone to feel a little bit more comfortable, say, okay, Jude, I'm going to go into business with you for the next 2 to 3 years on this major decision of mine. And there's more comfort because of, you know, the vulnerability as you've alluded to.
Yeah. Yeah. And vulnerability, it doesn't always have to be. Now, I know I told a very dramatic story with losing my father. It doesn't always have to be that. There's vulnerability and strength, right? And showing your strengths. There's a story that Luann tells. If you guys go back and listen to the podcast, there's a story she tells about a black, green, and blue pen, I think it was. And I pointed out to her that when she tells that story, she talks about details aren't her strength. But she created this system around details where she uses a black, green, or blue pen. I think it's actually a blue, green, or black pen that she uses in order that anytime she goes to meet with a client, Let's say the second time she goes to meet with him, there's an order change. She writes it in a different color. She might write it in black the first time and write it in green the second time. And I was like, there's a strength in that you're sharing. You're sharing technically that it's not a strength of yours, but then you're sharing that you've created a system around it. So vulnerability can be your strengths. It can be the values that you hold as a person, as a human being, and it can be the lessons that you've learned over time. It doesn't always have to be this negative thing, but when you're willing to be vulnerable and you're willing to open up, it shows me that I can trust you, right? It shows me that this is not a person that's willing to, that's going to only show me the highlights, right? Like if we think about social media, we only see the highlights. We only see the good things, but this person's willing to pull back the curtain to show me who they really are. And that's why vulnerability is so important. That's why I lead with it with my clients, but two, I also try to push my clients to show vulnerability as well. It's not, again, not the deepest, darkest secrets, but just enough where someone can feel like they know you beyond the thing that you do. The thing you do is just like I do video. That's just a tool. You build homes. That's just a tool. That's just a service. Who you are, the being, the human being, is so much more than the doing that you do.
It's very powerful. For you, Jude, as you look back to that experience, if you don't mind me asking, when you look at the purpose of attending that leadership conference, you know, you said that you felt leadership was important and it's something you wanted to do. And there's some truth to your desire to pursue leadership as you're the youngest of 10 children doing the eulogy. How, maybe walk to the power that you learned at that leadership conference, how that's impacted you. And then also being the youngest, why you were coined the responsibility to give that eulogy.
Yeah, I often think about that leadership conference because for that to happen right after, I'll give a little bit more context. So my father was diagnosed with prostate cancer in March and passed away in July. But between that time, I had stopped working, at least flying out of town, because most of my clients come from out of town, and I had stopped flying to help with him going through the treatments and the experience. And the first time leaving was to go to Spokane, Washington, to go to this leadership conference. And I remember thinking the entire time that I'm at this conference that there would be a change and something is going to happen in my life. Now, I never imagined, again, for context, my dad wasn't in a severe state of cancer. Like he was a stage 2, I believe. And so it wasn't, even his last cancer treatment, it was like the doctors gave him 50-50 as far as like, he just needed to get his weight up and you know, he would be fine. And of course, come back for checkups and he would be fine. So it wasn't like this was something we saw coming. Mm-hmm. Although he had cancer, it was not a very severe case of cancer. And so, but I knew there would be a change happening in my life. I knew going to this conference would change me. And that's why it was part of the reason that I wanted to take this Greyhound bus back home, because I was like, I need to properly digest this. But then for that experience to happen, I remember one thing I learned about leadership that I'd never really thought about is that there is a burden of leadership. The burden being that it wouldn't always be comfortable. That, you know, many people want to be in the front or they want to be guiding, and it's not always something that comes easy. It's not always like when a challenge happens that you could take a step back and say, oh, nope, someone else takes the lead now, right? And that was something that I took away from that, is there's a burden to leadership that even if you're going through something emotionally, you still have to stand strong in order to help guide others. Another part I learned is that leadership wasn't just about being the front person. It was about to lead. L-E-A-D means to guide a group of people along a journey. And so this to me, when my father passed away, was like a God wink. It was God saying, you're ready. And although it was not something I ultimately wanted to go through, losing my father, it led to me figuring out my purpose, which is to lead and empower entrepreneurs to have relentless courage. I think part of the reason that my siblings leaned on me to give this eulogy, to also guide them through this process, was because when difficult moments happen, I am the person that is calm. Like it might be a lot of chaos going around me, but I am most calm and centered so that we can accomplish what we need to accomplish. And then I can sigh and take a break. But in the moment, I am clear, I am focused, I am calm. And I think I don't think I would have seen that or known that. Like, I know the experience was good at the leadership conference, but I don't think I would have seen that without something. It's like being thrown in the fire. It's like, what is it called? A training, to be in training, right? While you're working. Like, I was thrown immediately in the fire, not expecting it. But I think that's why my family leaned on me and why I was given that task to give his eulogy.
It can be tough. I think there's a lot of relation there, Jude, as you're walking through the burden of leadership. Entrepreneurship in itself, I think that's why you're so powerful in what you do in your profession, is that as an entrepreneurship, it can be lonely too, right? It can be lonely in fighting the battles and, you know, dealing with the struggles of running a business. And then when you've leadership is a little bit different than that, because as you mentioned, you're guiding others and there's different contexts of who's the leader. I think a lot of people, myself included, leader when you see it, and leaders come in many different, some are quiet, some are loud, some are, as you mentioned, center of attention, some are maybe by the side, but leader when you see it, right? How has your leadership evolved? How has it played a role in your career to this point?
I mentioned my purpose, which is to lead and empower entrepreneurs to have relentless courage. That came out of this experience with my father. Over time, I have been incredibly intentional about how I lead my clients. And what I mean by that is I don't just simply focus on the video production. I don't simply focus on even the storytelling. I focus on, like, what is my client experiencing in this moment? And what do they need from me in that moment as they're going through this? So for example, I didn't always notice this. This is actually something Luann pointed out. But like, when I go to Mike, Luann, or any client, I don't just simply mic them. And miking them means, and I want to give a clear picture of what it means to mic them. It means putting a small microphone on them, which is a very intimate, invasive experience. It can be, right? Like, it's because I have to put the mic, the wire down her shirt, right, and actually clip it on her. And obviously for her, she's a woman and I'm a man, so it's a different experience. But she said something that I didn't always pick up on, but I'm much more intentional about it now. She said that as I'm doing that, I'm checking in with her. I'm saying, hey, how are you doing? Like, do you feel like you're prepared for today? I'm explaining to her what we're getting ready to do today. And she was like, those 30 to 60 seconds as I'm doing that completely disarms her, and it makes her feel comfortable, and there's no anxiety, there's nothing there. And I didn't always pay attention to that, but now I pay attention to it. And I realized, like, again, because I'm this calm person, I'm definitely the quiet leader, as you mentioned, right? Like, I am much more intentional about that kind of that part of the experience, where leadership isn't just about the yelling or giving orders. Sometimes it's just looking at the person and realizing what they need and giving that to them in that moment. And so that's how it's changed for me over time. I went through an experience in October 2020, where I woke up one morning, teeth clenched, heart racing, and I could not physically move my body. After 2 hours of this, ended up going to see a therapist later on that week, and I realized that I was going through burnout. I was diagnosed with burnout, depression, and anxiety. Now, in going through burnout, I had to relearn who I was, because I felt like I was going through an identity crisis. I had prided myself on the ability to work and how I work, right? And the fact that I could work long hours and not be, not go through any bad experiences and just completely get through it. Well, as I'm going through burnout, trying to recover, May of 2021. So I got diagnosed October 2020. May of 2021, I'm filming a conference for a client. And it's me with my team. So there's three other guys with me filming. And as we're filming in the lobby area, the rest of the people that are at this event are on break. We come back in after break. We go back into the conference center. Now, I happen to stay behind and to speak to the client. My team went back in early. As I walk back in to the conference center, my head of production, Jason, looks at me and he says, "We just got robbed." Now, Jason can be a jokester. And so at first, my first instinct was, oh, he's joking. But then I looked at his face and his reaction is like, no, he is dead serious in this moment. Brad, we had walked in the room or at the event. It was a 3-day event. We walked in with 4 cameras and 10 lenses. Well, during the break, while we were filming in the lobby area, someone walked in and took 2 cameras, 8 lenses, more than half of our equipment. Ended up being over $20,000 worth of equipment. And I now have to process multiple different things at the same time. 1, do we continue? 2, does my team feel safe to continue? So I need to check in with them. 3, I need to tell the client what's going on. 4, I need to call the police and do a police report to see if we could possibly find out who did this and if we can get our equipment back. My, in going through that experience and how I responded to it, again, going through all those 4 things, if not more, that I had to process in the moment, it taught me that even though I was in the middle of burnout and I didn't have all the energy that I needed to have, again, it was who I am as a human being and how I show up in the midst of chaos is, I don't know any other way to put it other than I am extremely centered when it comes to that, right? And so my leadership has changed over time because I've continued to look for moments that reinforce me being a better leader. At the moment that I think I don't have it anymore, at the moment that I think I can't do this, there are these experiences that happen that remind me, no, you're 1, you're right where you need to be, and 2, God has called you for this season. He has called you for this moment. And so I think that's how my leadership has changed over time, is where I, especially after my father passing away and going through that, what felt like a transformational experience, I looked at, okay, but is this true? Is there evidence? I continue to look over and over. Is there evidence that supports that I am the leader for this season? And I think that's, I just look at those moments like the robbery or like my father passing away to continue, or like even, like I mentioned with Luann, with how I mic her, I look at those moments like, okay, this is the part I need to continue to develop. This is the part I need to continue to reinforce.
This episode is brought to you by Pella Windows. When it comes to building homes at AFT, almost every project has Pella Windows. And they've been just an incredible partner of ours. And locally, Sammy and Adam, they are not only amazing business partners behind us, but they are super close friends. And I speak on the podcast all the time about the importance of relationships, right? Relationships with our customers, with our vendors, with our suppliers. Because at the end of the day, I'm only as good as those that help our brand and assist us in our projects to take it from the ground up all the way to completion. And if we didn't have partners such as Pella, there's no way we'd be who we are today. Over the years, we've built this amazing relationship. When we call them or email them, they respond. They're quick. Their company culture, their integrity, their honesty. You know, they are always there to do what's right for us and the customer. They can do anything from small replacement projects to large custom homes and even multi-million-dollar commercial projects. And also, when you think about their product line, they can do ultra contemporary, historical preservation, and large traditional projects. So for anyone, any scale, any size, they're the ones to call. They're here local. You know, they have an amazing Instagram. Make sure and give them a follow to see what they're doing. So if you need windows and doors, give Sammy and Adam a call. We stand behind Pella. We love what they do, their culture, their brand, and especially their quality. And if you want to learn more about Pella Windows, check our show notes. We'll have everything tagged there so you can give them a follow and have their contact information to reach out.
Our clients have worked with the Sub-Zero Wolf & Co. showroom Scottsdale on nearly every project. They make the process so easy for us and our customers with either an in-person or virtual consultation. They have dedicated consultants to answer questions, provide helpful solutions, and offer advice and assistance. When you are ready to embark on your kitchen journey, reach out to the Sub-Zero Wolf & Cove showroom, Scottsdale, who will tailor an immersive, rewarding experience just for you in their stunning showroom. Gather ideas, ask questions, and imagine how your dream kitchen might come to life. All catered to you in a low-pressure and highly inspiring environment. View an array of options and see what they look like in full-size kitchen vignettes. And attend a chef-led demonstration to see and taste these appliances in action.
I want to ask if you feel you have unique advantage in your field. And the reason I say that is because many of us, you know, especially listening to you, Jude, I feel that many of us, many of those are probably listening, don't understand their purpose, right? And those in this world, for whatever reason, that understand their purpose, and you spoke to you know, your legacy and the imprint you're making on your industry and the leadership, you know, and all these experiences you have going back to the robbery and, you know, how you're keeping your temperament and addressing this. Now, as you're a filmmaker, and a lot of people may say they do video, right? It's a very competitive space, just like all fields, but knowing your purpose, knowing who you are, knowing these leadership principles, how has that led you to be extremely successful and bring you to where you are today?
It's a great question. It's led to me being successful today because I don't focus on the video part. We have been on for about 30 minutes now, and probably more than half of it has been focused on leadership. Because I'm very clear that my clients aren't hiring me for video. They're hiring me to lead them through a process that ultimately leads to video, but they're hiring me for something much bigger. And I think because of that, I focus a lot on that. You asked me how did my leadership change over time, and it's because I've continued to go to leadership conferences. It's because I've continued to reinforce these leadership principles that I understand about myself. I don't know if you remember our call last month, I think it was, you and I, our Zoom call. I asked you a lot of questions when it came to how you lead AFT, right?
Yeah.
Because I'm also picking up from other leaders. And I think it helps to inform how I create videos. It helps to inform how I continue to grow the business. But I don't talk about video. And I think because of that, when my clients or potential clients have conversations with me, they see me as so much more than just video. And it's intentional. It's intentional because I want them to see me as so much more than video. We're going to do a video. I am going to deliver that for you. But it's so much more than that. And I am able to show them that this will be a different experience. I think because of that intentionality, that's what allows me to continue to work with high level clients and work with clients that are happy to do the work that we're doing. I think of a story. I started to say happy to pay me because I think of a story with a client, the same client that almost lost $5 million worth of jewelry. We were filming her docuseries, and she happened to be having a conversation with her social media manager. And the social media manager was a subcontractor. And I remember her saying, the social media manager saying, "Hey, you know, I've been trying to get into the office to film, to do behind the scenes, like quick videos, right? Instagram videos with you. But it's not easy to get on your schedule." And she basically asked, "Can you make it easier for me to get on your schedule and for us to do this?" And I remember the client, her name is Tracy Lynn, and she said, "You know, I hear you and I understand what you're going through. I understand the frustration you're going through. But I want to show you a different side." And she was like, "You know, I've been working with Jude for about 3 months now. And our contract with Jude is 6 months. And part of the contract is that he comes in and films for 2 or 3 days out the week, and he needs to get on my calendar. Now, you know what Jude does? He calls my assistant and he says, 'Hey, I'm thinking about coming in this day and that day. Does that work for Tracy Lynn's schedule?' And the assistant will try to go to Tracy Lynn. He'll come back to me and he'll try to have the conversation and see if I can get on the schedule. And you know, the first thing I say to my assistant, 'I don't have time.' And so the assistant calls back Jude and it lets Jude know, you know, she's saying she doesn't have time this week. Maybe try another week." And Jude is saying, "Look, I get it, but I'm coming in this week." So she can figure out what days work, but I'm coming in this week. And the point of her telling that story is like, Jude doesn't give me the option to say no. Now, at that point, okay, it felt good, but there's something else she added to that that I did not expect. And it was, she said, "Even when money gets funny, and let's say she has to scale back in the business," she was like, "one person I'm not letting go of is Jude." Mm-hmm. Because I know if I have this contract with Jude is going to do everything possible to do his part. Now, if he can't come in, and even if he comes in, because I think that day specifically, I came in and there wasn't much to do, but she was like, "Even if he comes in, there's not much to do, he's still going to be here. He's still going to show up. And that's the person that I want to pay, is the person that's not going to ask me to make it easier, but that's going to get to the finish line either way." So when I say like, yeah, clients are happy to pay me and I've realized all these things about leadership, it's because I bring so much more than just video. It is the experience that they're having with me. It is me saying, hey, I'm not willing to take no for an answer, which is a part of leadership. It's a part of running a business. I'm not willing to take no for an answer, especially if you've hired me, right? Like integrity is not one of my core values, but it is a part of how I live my life. Like you've hired me, you've paid me money to come in and do a service. Although you're making it difficult, it's still my responsibility to do the service, right? And so I think that is how I've continued to pay attention to that and why I have been successful. It's been almost 18 years now that I've been doing video production. And the reason that I've sustained over 18 years is I think because of that, I've understood very early on that leadership was part of my purpose. And then I got really intentional about how do I do that in every part of the business. And so that's what's led to me being here today.
You express your value tremendously, Jude, and I think that's what's led to your success, just my opinion. I mean, you know, even as you mentioned, when you and I spoke, we didn't speak about video, right? Is this question, and even through this entire conversation, like there hasn't been a ton of context around video or what goes into video production and editing and the story. I mean, essentially, at the core, you're really evaluating the person. And I can only imagine your clients that you've worked with that internally they must have had some awakening themselves on. A lot of us are going through the motions and we're running the chaos of business and the chaos of growth and whatever that may mean. But how many times do we often, or are we asked by someone to say, why are we doing it the way we are? What are our intrinsic values? Why are we passionate? Why are we grinding the way we are? By you doing that, what's that experience been from your clients just to be, because I can only imagine that they've learned a lot about themselves just in their interactions with you.
Yeah. You know, Brad, you spend time taking care of your team. You spend time taking care of your family, but who takes care of you, right? The experience for my clients is that I am the person that is holding space for them. There are questions that they haven't been asked. I get clients that tell me that often. The questions I'm asking them are questions they haven't been asked ever. Right. And for me, I see it as important to ask those questions to get to their purpose, to get to their why. You could be in business 20 years and not know why you're doing what you're doing. You might have gotten good at it, right? But you don't know why you're doing it. You don't know what motivates you or what helps you get to that next level. For my client, the experience is being able to slow down long enough to ask why so that they can leapfrog and take that big jump to the next thing. It's one of the most challenging questions to ask why. But I think for them, they see the value in not only answering the question, but the introspective moments of realizing, oh my gosh, this is what really motivates me that they never thought of before. Some people are afraid to say the thing that they most need to say. I give them the permission to say it so that it can unlock doors for them. It can unlock opportunities that they finally get to say this thing out loud. And by saying it out loud, they're now connected to more people or connected to the right clients, to the right team members even. If you don't know your core values or your why, you could be working with the wrong partners. And that is the worst experience to be on, is to have partners that you're not aligned with, right? To have clients you're not aligned with. Just because they're paying you don't make them good clients. Or just because they can afford you don't make them good clients, right? Like it's so much more to that. And I think that's what, when I give my clients permission to say the things that they probably always wanted to say, it helps them become better leaders. And that for me is the ultimate goal, is to lead and empower entrepreneurs to have relentless courage. When they have that courage, they become better leaders.
It's very well said. And really at the core, Jude, as you mentioned, if you don't understand your core values, the key to any successful business and marketing is really catering to that ideal client. Well, if you're not understanding the thesis, everything behind it, how are you attracting the ideal client? How are you creating that synergy? As you use the word detective early on, how you know, that I thought that word is interesting as you're going in as a detective, right? Into the storytelling, the road mapping with your client, the basis, the history there. I think there is some history there with you and why you've kind of taken that understanding into what you do today.
Yeah. The basis of it is that as a kid, I used to watch crime TV shows with my dad. So many people may not know these shows, but Nash Bridges or Chicago Blue, right? I used to watch those shows with my dad. And something I paid attention to, even today, if you watch shows today with like, I can't think of a crime TV show today, but like if you watch these shows, they go through revealing the crime, right? But then they work backwards of figuring out the motivation or who committed the crime and then what was their motivation. So if you think of like Law and Order does that really well, right? And that's why they've lasted all these years with all the shows they have. What I noticed is like there's evidence, right? And you're trying to piece together those evidences to create the motivation, to find who did it, why they did it, and ultimately solve the crime. Now, I'm not solving crime, but I'm looking at all these connection points in someone's life to show what led them to who they are today, right? And so that's why I use the word detective, is because I used to do that with my dad, where I did it originally, I would spend time with my dad. That's all I was looking to do. I was just looking at, as a young boy, I was looking to spend time with my dad. But I started to internalize and like picking apart, almost like an engineer picks apart, you know, a radio or something like that. I started to pick apart how this story is unfolding and like, okay, can I guess who actually did it and why they did it before they even tell me? It's the same way that I operate in working with my clients. It's like, I'm a detective in that same way. I'm looking to piece together. You may have said something, and you actually do it really well, because in this interview, you're doing it where I may have said something earlier on in the conversation that I didn't continue to talk about, but then you bring it back up and show how it connects the dots. That's how I do it with my clients as well. It's like I look at connect the dots to show this is why you do what you're doing. Like, I'm going to ask you the questions, but I'm also going to help you see it for yourself so that you begin to embody it.
It's fascinating to me because in this whole conversation, you know, when I brought you on, and, you know, fortunately, just a little background, you know, Judah and I met in person at Luann Live down in Florida, just being open. Very impressed, as you mentioned. I mean, you have this presence, and I think anyone listening to this, you know, your candor, the way you communicate, it's rare, right? It's just something that's really rare. So I commend you for that, Jude. And, you know, as you've spoken about leadership, it just goes to me, I'm attracted to talented individuals in their field that have been talented and create value in different ways. And you've done that through the detective work, through the leadership. How many times have I ever heard that in relation to film? Never. And granted, I'm not like a film producer. I'm not a filmmaker such as yourself. And so I think it's fascinating that there's so many applications though on what you share today that I can now take and apply to my business, right? As I'm looking at, you know, advancing to the next level, or anyone that's listening can do the same.
Yeah. It's, there's a deeper motivation to why you do what you do, but when you figure that out, when you figure out that purpose, it informs everything you do next. And in the same way that you're now talking about it, Brad, where I've left you with ideas or things that you can implement in your business, that is the real value. We hear all the time, to share tips and tricks, right? To show people how you work and all that. There's an importance to that. But I think the real value is you. The real value is when you show up authentically and you figured out your purpose and you just speak from that. Make no mistake, Brad, I am with my clients, I deliver great stories, great documentaries, great videos. I'm going to do that. I know how to do that. My team, we're well experienced in doing that. But it matters more how I leave you. Because I can give you a great video and then your life isn't changed. For me, I find it incredibly important to change every person's life. My purpose, again, is to lead and empower entrepreneurs to have relentless courage. Even if that means today I just gave Brad a little bit more courage, I have fulfilled my purpose. And so if I operate in that way and you, or even as you're listening to this, you figure out your purpose and you operate in that way, that's what leads to continued growth in your business. And it also leads to, Here's something else it leads to that we haven't talked about. It leads to knowing what to eliminate from your business because it just doesn't serve you or your clients, right? And so, yeah, I am grateful. I'm grateful I learned it or began to learn it because it was a process. It was not overnight. I began to learn purpose and how to operate in that way. And I continue to because I read books. Like one of my favorite books that I've read recently is Unreasonable Hospitality by Michael Gadara, I believe. And he ran a restaurant in New York, 11 Madison Park. Will Gadara, not Michael Gadara. Will Gadara was his name. And even though I'm not in the restaurant business, there's so much that I've learned from that book, right? And so, yeah, I'm intentional about it. I lead through leadership. I lead through my purpose. I lead with my heart, really. And I'm just grateful to hear that even you are taking something from it, that although we had a different idea for where this conversation would go, but that's kind of the point, right? Like you have a different idea of who you may want to work with. Your clients may have a different idea. Like, let's say there are three different construction companies they want to work with, or three different interior designers they want to work with. I've heard you actually say this before, Brad. Sometimes you're the highest budget, but they're more willing to work with you because there's something intangible that you bring. Even though it's a higher fee, there's something intangible that you bring that these other two can't. And that's really, for me, that's what it's all about. And that's why I lead with that, because while I may think I do great stories and documentaries, I may not have all the fanfare that other video production have, but I know what's my unique differentiator is me. And what is it that makes me special is my purpose. And so that's what I lead with.
Yeah. And this kind of goes back to when I was asking about any clients that have an awakening, you know, haven't worked with you. And what's interesting is, based on your process and the exploratory nature you offer, right? There's an impact you're making. That's the separator. That's the value. That's the value add that you bring into the industry. For those listening that want to say, because like just hearing you speak, Jude, it's like, well, I want to sign up, right? I want to work with Jude on my next video production, right? As I'm looking at creating a film. And, you know, you mentioned early on the core values and the stories and philosophies. How can I bring that to life, right? And anyone we know where video is going, right? Maybe speak to how important video is now, not just what you touched upon, but really where the industry is going from social media and websites and how that can be a big separator. And I think it's important for you also, because you mentioned that you've done docuseries and you've done these documentaries. Is there room for different size films that you're creating? You know, what does that look like on a day-to-day for you and your clients?
Yeah. So unless you've been under a rock, you'd see that video is taking over completely. And I mean, from Twitter, which is now X, to Instagram, to LinkedIn, to Facebook, video, and even podcasting. Video is much more powerful, the most powerful form of media. And for entrepreneurs, no matter what business you run, you need to have video in your business. Now, I'm not saying that because I run a video production business. I'm saying that because I'm even seeing it in how I'm running my own business. Like, I practice what I preach. The goal of video, though, is to create a connection. It is a marketing tool, right? It is to create a connection so that your clients will be able to meet you before they ever meet you, that you'll be able to educate them through the content that you're creating, that you're able to even exchange entertainment or information, right? And so that's where video is going. Video is taking over. And if you're not doing video at this point in 2024, in any form, you don't have to be doing video in the sense that you're hiring me, but if you're not doing video even on your cell phone, which no matter what kind of phone you have, whether it's Apple or Android, you have a great camera on your phone. And if you're not doing video, you're far behind. Now that's the video portion. The other thing is storytelling, which I think is also imperative. Storytelling isn't just a story, is about a very specific moment in time and the lesson you learn from that moment in time. And so there are stories happening around our businesses every single day that we should be sharing. And so that is also critically important. And that's where I see things going in 2024 and beyond, is you need to have video and you need to have stories. I think it in docuseries, which is what I create. My niche is I create documentaries for entrepreneurs. Sometimes that means it's 3 minutes long. Sometimes it's like Luann's, it was an hour long. What that gives you the advantage, when you have a documentary or a documentary series, the advantage that it gives you is that that can then be cut up into shorter 30 to 60 second videos, right? That still allows someone to first be introduced to you and then decide, okay, I want to watch the longer pieces now, right? And so it's something that I call creating assets that compound. A smart entrepreneur creates assets that compound. For example, I'm on this podcast. Something that will happen that my team will do is that they'll create, when this comes out, they'll create a trailer, right, that encompasses the conversation that we have. Then they'll create different clips of parts of the conversation and what I shared. But again, it's an asset that compounds. And now when someone else is thinking about having me on their podcast, I can show them this conversation and show what kind of conversation we had and how in-depth it was, right? If you're running a construction company or you're an interior designer, architect, creating these assets are not just about, oh, let me just put myself out there. It's about realizing you now have an asset that can be reused and repurposed over and over. There are stories that I've shared that are on my website, that are on my about page, that are on my Instagram page, that I share through podcasts, and that I share when I'm speaking on stage. Or when I share on a strategy session, roadmapping strategy session with a client, I get to repurpose this over and over and over and over again, which means I am now not on a hamster wheel. I'm not having to work harder. I'm working smarter. And for me, that's what video storytelling is. It gives you the ability to work smarter, not harder. And so although I do documentaries, which are long form, the benefit that my clients get is that they will also get these shorter form videos that they get to use for the people that may not watch, you know, a 3 to 5 minute video or a 20 minute video. They'll watch the shorter videos that lead them to that show, oh, this is worth watching. This is different. This is something I always hear from people that watch the work that I do is like there's one guy I filmed who's a copywriter, and someone else that watched it, he was like, oh, I went into this thinking he's a copywriter, but like first 2 minutes of this, I realized, oh, this is going to be different. He's not going to be talking to me about writing words. This is a completely different experience. And that, again, to me is like what I try. The same things that I talk about that I incorporate in my business is what I try to help my clients incorporate as well, because it is so much more than just about the work. It is about who you are as a human. And so that's where video is going in 2024 and beyond is, you are separating yourself. You're standing out by showing your personality, showing who you are. And there's just so many assets to do that. So many opportunities to do that. So you want to create assets that compound.
Assets that compound. I think that's a great way to kind of leave that segment on video production and the value, because, you know, you mentioned reuse, repurpose, and how you can use these between the podcasts you've been on and conferences where you've been a speaker, and then putting it on the website. And again, at the core, you're doing exactly what you've been saying this whole time, is you're creating a story, you're creating a philosophy, right? And that's what's going to draw and attract those that want to work with you and your company. So outside of the complication of leading us, right, and you know, being the detective to figure out who we are, what do you do for fun?
I love adrenaline and field activity. So I haven't gone skydiving since the first skydiving, but I love to go cycling. I love to try to think of an adventure I did recently, but that's what I do for fun. Other than reading books, which is fun for me too. I love to do adrenaline and field activities. I love to go zip lining, go on vacation. And so that's what I do for fun is I read a lot. There's a lot that I read, but I also I try to turn off my mind to work. I take off 2 months every year. So June and December, I take off. And in that time, I am completely unplugged. I am just looking to reconnect with nature, looking to be outside more, and then looking to have fun. And so that's what I do to have fun. That's what I do when I'm not working.
How do you do that? I know we're short on time, but I actually had that as a question for you, because you mentioned the time off. I think that's very rare. today for anyone to be able to do that?
I started doing it in 2013 before I could afford to. I am an introvert, despite the fact that I can speak and all that. I am an introvert and I need the time off. And I started doing it November, December before I'd ever burnt out or anything like that. How I do it now, though, is that I save for it. It's still not easy, if I'm transparent. It's not easy in the sense that it's not easy to unplug, right? The first week, 2 weeks is always the hardest for me because it's like I'm in a routine. I'm used to interacting or used to working with clients. And so it's the hardest because I'm still thinking about work. But the practical side of it is, how do I do it? I save for it. But I think the more practical side of that is that I bill for it. Now, it's not a line item for clients, but I do make it clear to every client I take June and December off. And it's because for me, it's the cost of doing business. The reason that I'm able to be a great leader or I'm able to work on these great projects and my clients are happy with the projects is because I take those 2 months off. And so I have over time realized, you know, how much money I need to do that and just made it the cost of doing business. I bill it to my clients, but they also understand this is why we're going to have an exceptional experience. And so it gives me an opportunity, because I bill for it, it gives me an opportunity to save for it, which then during that time, I am intentional about asking myself questions. I ask myself the same hard questions I ask my clients, I ask myself. And I won't make it seem like it's easy. It's still not easy after a decade of doing that. But I have found it the most important thing to my growth. You know, when you ask me, like, how has my leadership changed over time? It's that I think having those quiet moments, because we don't have enough of them, I think having those quiet moments has helped me grow exponentially. Without it, I don't think I would have grown as a human being, as a person. I don't think I would have grown. There's certain things I would have missed in business, certain patterns, certain opportunities that I would have missed by not taking the time off. And so for me, that's what I need. Now, I recommend entrepreneurs take the time off. You don't need 2 months. I just happen to choose 2 months. You got to figure out what's right for you. But I always recommend more than 3 weeks, or at the very least 3 weeks, more than 2 weeks. So at the very least 3 weeks, because I think it takes about 2 weeks before you can truly decompress and like enjoy the time that you have taken off. So yeah, that's how I do it. It's just, I make it practical. I make it make business sense for me.
Well, self-reflection is a lost art. So I think there's a little mic drop there as we close this out, because there's not enough of that. So I commend you for actually making time and doing that. And that I'm sure speaks to health and balance and, you know, many other things in life too. So again, I can't thank you enough for making time. I know you're incredibly busy. Spend an hour with us today. Much appreciated. So for those listening that want to reach out, inquire on your services, Jude, where can they find you?
Best place is my website, judecharles.co. It has my contact information there, and you'll be able to reach out if you are on social media regularly. I'm also on Instagram through my handle, which is Jude Charles. So my first and last name, Jude Charles. Send me a DM there too. I'm always interacting and responding. I love to have conversations. It's important to have conversations and not just transactions. And so those are two places that you can find me, either my website or on Instagram. And I'd love to hear from you. Even if the takeaways that you've taken from this podcast, I'd love to hear.
Jude, thank you again. Appreciate you making time.
Awesome. Thank you, Brad.
If you get value from the show, please support us by giving a 5-star rating and review on whatever platform you listen to. And I also have a favor to ask. We've had some incredible guests that come on and share their wisdom, their knowledge about their business. So if you have friends or family members that could benefit from those episodes, please share it with them, as well as any other business owners that you're networking with that could get value from the podcast or certain episodes, please share those as well. Again, subscribe, make sure you're following. Any questions that you have, topics, we've had listeners reach out about certain guests that we should have on the show. Again, brad.l@aftconstruction.com. Email me for topics to address, guests that we should have on, and even if you think you'd be a great guest for the show. So again, thank you for all your support, and we'll see you next time.